Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Wayne Klingman, here with Radio Free Mafia. And we're waiting for our guest to call in, and she's running a little bit late. But then, of course, she's a very, very, very busy person. And who knows what may be going on. She might not be able to get a single, or any number of things might be going on. But we'll give her a couple of minutes to call in. If she doesn't call in, then we'll have to go and reschedule the show. These things happen, and the best thing we can do is roll with the punches as I might see fit. So, we'll tell you a little bit about what's been going on with me. Not much of anything, really. I really got some really interesting guests coming up. I'm looking forward to Monday. I don't want to spoil Monday's show anyway, shame or form. We do a bit of a tease on Twitter about what's going to go on Monday, but I'm really excited for that show. Here she is now. Let me bring her on. Hi. And we have the great queen of Las Vegas herself, Heather Ferris, CEO of Vegas Aces, is live and on the air. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you today?
I could pull up my hair if I had any left. We don't know if we have. Where do your hair spring? How are things with you?
Doing good, thank you.
Oh, outstanding.
It's a nice, sunny day here in Las Vegas.
What's the temperature now, there now?
The temperature right now is 53 degrees.
Not bad. Here it's about maybe 32, 33. I'll take the 53. Thanks. So to set up the show, we're going to pretend that I've been to Vegas a couple of times, which is obviously not the case. But now I've spent all my money. I spent $20,000 in the party pit at the D. I've been to jail a couple of times for not being able to pay my hotel room, all that other fun stuff. But I'm coming back to Vegas to experience a Vegas that most people never do. You know, not something that doesn't go much beyond the craps table. So tell us, what are there things in Vegas that we should be looking at to do for those people who want that better, more expensive experience?
So once you've done this a few times and to move on from the basics, the next thing to learn is playing games that's beneficial for you. There's a lot of games out there and a lot of games that aren't good for players, and there's a lot of games that are good for players, but how do you know which ones is which? And this is what you would learn. The first thing you would learn is the house edge or the house advantage. And what the house edge is this is the amount of money that the casinos are going to make off of your bet. So, for example, roulette has a 5.26% house edge. If you spent $100 every single spin, then the casino is estimated to make $5.26 every spin. If you're allocated about 60 spins per hour, you could see how that starts adding up, which is why it's really important to play on a game that has a low house edge versus a high house edge. A 2-0 roulette game has a high house edge with 5.26%, whereas blackjack is a much better game for the player since it has roughly around half of a percent house edge.
That's not bad. So my bankroll will go better, farther, I should say, if I play blackjack reasonably well versus if I just go to the roulette reel.
Right, exactly. And you also have to think about hands per hour, too. So a blackjack game could do 60 hands per hour or it could do more than that. Some dealers are really fast. So it just depends on the table and what you're trying to accomplish. If you want your money to last a really long time where you could just sit at the game, drink your, you know, alcohol, just chill out for a little bit, then PyGow is a really good game to play, especially face-up PyGow, because there's a lot of pushes in that game. So your $100 is going to last you a lot longer than if you, say, went to blackjack and spent $100 in 15 to 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. And, okay, I have to ask you a question here to define terms. What do you mean by a push for us people who don't know what we're talking about?
Oh, so you don't win money and you don't lose money. When you go to a face-up PyGow poker game, face-up is good because then you could see what the dealer has and then you could range your cards in a way that is more beneficial to yourself. But any PyGow game, if you win the top hand but lose the bottom hand, that's considered a push, and no money is exchanged. Another way to look at a push is if you're on blackjack and you have a 17 and the dealer has a 17, this is a push, meaning no money is exchanged.
Okay, but the odds of that happening in blackjack is slim and none. I'm going to take it.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Sure. The odds of that happening in a blackjack game is pretty small.
Pushes happen enough. I mean, they're not uncommon. You see them.
Wow. So, the first thing I'm going to do, I take it that some casinos are going to have a slower paced game than others, or pretty much all casinos going to act the same way. It's going to get as many hands out there as they can.
It just depends on the dealer, because every single dealer is different. So you're going to have some slow dealers, some normal dealers, and some fast dealers. What they really need to be concerned about is when they're sitting down at a game, is that game good for that player? So,
sure.
For example, we'll go to roulette again. If you want to play roulette, don't sit down at a 3-0 roulette game if there's a single 0 roulette game available for you to play. Now, when we were talking about House Edge, when I said 5.26% for double zero, that's for the two zeros, it goes up to 7.69% for three zeros. So that's increased, and that's not good for the player. What's good for the player is the single zero roulette game, which has a 2.7% House Edge. And if they really want to get a good roulette game, the best roulette game, and you can usually find this in the high limit area, is the French roulette or European roulette. And how you know this is it's single zero, but it also has the Lepotage principle in effect. And what that is if you have your money on any of the even bets being red, black, odd, even, 1 through 18, 19 through 36, if you have your money on any of those bets and the zero hits, you only lose half of your money. You get to keep half of it. So you don't lose all of your money. You just lose half of it. And that brings the House Edge down to... Yeah, half of it. That brings the House Edge down to 1.35%, which is the best for players.
Okay. You said high limit. How much we're talking?
High limit, it varies depending on the casino. It could range anywhere from $25 minimums to $50 minimums to $100 minimums, depending. Also, time of a day matters. You're going to have lower minimums during the day and graveyard shifts, and then higher minimums on swing shift.
Sure. So if I want my money to last the longest, perhaps the best thing I can do is obviously do my research before I go again, right? I want to make sure I know how to play the games, and I can do that by going to your webpage and learning how to play them because you teach them so well. Can you give us webpage location? Oh, you're welcome. Where can we find it?
Yeah, it is vegas-aces.com, vegas-aces.com. We actually just updated it yesterday. We got two new articles on there about card counting, if you're interested in that. And I think that's one of the subjects we're going to talk more about in your next episode, I believe, for the advanced players.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So really looking forward to that. And then, of course, they could follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. If they want to talk with me or get a hold of me, the email is the best, heather@vegas-aces.com. If you try to get a hold of me through social media, I probably won't respond. And it's nothing to do with any of you people out there. I just get a lot of messages and spam and that kind of thing, and it's sort of overwhelming. So I don't go to social media as much anymore.
No, I can see why. I mean, I can't. With all you're involved, not only do you do the teaching the games with some really good people, you got the casino stories going on, which I really, really, really like, as you can tell. And, of course, then you're helping other companies get involved in gaming, you know, helping them bring their games to market, helping all kinds of different things. And you teach and you show other people how to do it, right? You have to be swamped. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate any amount of time that you get to spend in my shows. They mean a lot to me. They really, truly do.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, no. I'm very happy to do so. And I would recommend, please, if you are interested in what she's doing, you go to her webpage, check it out, come and see some of the live streams that she does, which are absolutely a hoot. and you get to learn a lot, and you get to interact with really interesting people, right? Take the opportunity to check out her Patreon, because even a couple of bucks goes a long ways.
Yes, thank you. Anything that helps, much appreciated.
Absolutely, anything that helps. So really, little things go a long ways. Like at that time of day, if I go at night, like graveyard shift, I might overall have a better experience because my money might go longer, because if I go to a room, I don't have to spend so much money right off, I take it, right? And the crowd
goes,
I take it.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so if you go on swing shift, the minimums are going to be higher. But if you wait to graveyard, then yes, the minimums are going to be lower. But oh my God, you see the craziest things on graveyard. That is the time where everybody is wasted and they're drunk and they've been there forever. And this is when they're like, this is the fun part. If you like people watch during graveyard, because that is a hoot.
Okay. I'll ask. I get to go to Vegas, have this weird experience, right? I saved up my money. I want to go and have it. I mean, hit the graveyard because, as you said, the people there most likely have been there all day, drunk off their mind, being stupid. What casino should I go to make sure I have the best people watching experience?
If you want the best people watching experience, downtown Fremont Street is fantastic. And, of course, the Strip is really good as well. And those are the two best places to people watch here in Las Vegas. Downtown is really something else. You don't come across that anywhere else in the world. And it's very interesting watching the people down there.
Okay, I have to ask, what's the craziest thing you've seen in downtown Vegas?
Oh, my God. Okay, this one time. when I was, what was it? I think I was 19 years old or 20 years old. It was before I turned 21. I used to be a henna artist down on Fremont Street. So I would go down there and I would sit on Fremont Street and I would do henna tattoos on people. And during the time when there was nobody around, I would people watch. And seriously, the best place to people watch is downtown. The craziest thing I ever saw, I don't know about the craziest. One of the funnier things I ever saw was this homeless woman was walking down Fremont Street. She stops right in front of my booth and she pulls down her pants and she goes to the bathroom in front of me. The cops are riding their bikes up and down the street. So one of them sees her. He goes to her, stops, radios the other cops. So by the time they all get there, there's like three cops on three different bicycles and they're right around her, forming like a triangle around her. And they're sitting there and they're talking and they're shooting the shit and they're, you know, just saying how their day is. In the middle of all of that is her taking a number two, like working at it. And they're just like acting like if nothing's going on, nothing's wrong, nothing. And I'm just sitting there just watching this whole thing like, are you kidding me? And this was before, like, I couldn't take my phone out and take a video because this was before all of that. I'm old. But it was insane. And that's just one of the things you would see down there. I've seen fights. I've seen, you know, crazy people. I've seen people, you know, urinate and defecate on the tables. I've seen people dressed up in really crazy outfits. I've seen groups of women walk around in their lingerie. Like, it's...
Ooh.
You see some really insane things.
So let's go back to these women in lingerie. I might be old myself, but I'm not dead. Would these be the women that might want to have me invite them to my hotel room later on?
Oh, those are different women. So the women that I'm talking about, in particular, the Palms used to have this party. It was a sleepover party. They don't do it anymore. They stopped doing it. But the sleepover party, all these women would go to the party wearing lingerie. And after the party was over, they would disperse and they would go to the like few different hotels around the Palms and you know, just do whatever. So I was working at the Rio, and we would literally see, like, these huge groups of women walking around in nothing, like in lingerie and nothing. And my floor person was really cool. He was like, hey, Heather, do me a favor. Every time you see one of those, like, groups walking by, call me. Like, say floor, say you need something, whatever, and then that way we could watch them. So every single time I saw one, I would be like, hey, floor, shuffling or, you know, whatever. And he would come over and he would pretend he was working and we'd both sit there and watch the girls walk by and be like, okay. And then he'd go back to where he was because he couldn't see him where he was normally. Yeah. So that was that. And then as far as what you're talking about, yeah, we have a lot of those girls here. They come up to you at the tables. They come up to you at the bars. They ask you if you want to hang out or have fun or whatever. And then when they get you up to the room, they either, you know, they say it's $300 or $400, whatever they charge. And if you don't pay it and have sex with them, then they threaten to basically go down and tell cops this and that or whatever, and you have to give them $300 just to leave and not cause a problem. And there are some guys up there that do that, and they do the thing, and then the women end up smashing, like, a lamp over their head or doing something that, you know, totally knocks them out, and then they steal from them. So they're really, it's not a good thing to go with these women. Also, too, we do a lot of stings. Prostitution is not legal here in Clark County. It is in Pahrump, but not in Clark County. So some of those girls are cops, and they're doing stings, and you don't want to be caught up in that.
I'll ask just because I have to. Okay, I'm being stupid. I'm half drunk. I try to take advantage when these women who are obviously in love with me. That might be a policeman instead, and they bust me. What kind of a fine am I looking at offhand?
I don't know the fine amount just because I've never been in that situation before, so I don't know. But I know you at least spend the night in jail. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. I would suspect that the fines aren't cheap. I don't know what they do. The PIP around here, sometimes when they do a bust, they'll take the pictures of the gens and they print them in the newspapers. Last thing I would want to do is have my picture in the newspaper, then come home for gun mold. I may not really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, luckily Las Vegas doesn't shame like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's affecting that, but some places do it. But speaking of, you did mention that it was legal in another county. My understanding is that I could easily arrange to be transported to one of those places too, correct?
Correct. Yep, that's correct.
Yeah.
Actually, not just those places, but even if you wanted to do any of the strip clubs or gentlemen clubs here in Las Vegas, they'll provide rides for you as well.
Right, yeah. I read the reviews on some of the gentlemen clubs, and many of them seem to be nothing more than a way to get your money out of your pocket and provide nothing for that exchange. But to each their own. So let's
isn't
go
that
back
Las
to,
Vegas in a nutshell?
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what, as I discuss a lot with them, I think it's Vital Vegas, is I know when I go to Vegas, I don't plan to come back with any money at all. I plan to be basically broke, right? I expect that. I want that. I want that experience. As long as I have a good experience in my mind, who cares, right? I spent my money in exchange. I'm getting enjoyment. Maybe I get to watch crazy people lingerie. Maybe I get to play blackjack for a couple hours and have a food at the table with people that I meet. Maybe I have fun playing craps, right? Those experiences. But the things I don't want to do is think my room charge is going to be X amount and find out with all the different fees it went from X to X times 3, right? That is what I want to avoid, be it the first time or the 50th time I go to Vegas. And why I like having you on the show, because I would hope that people listening to these shows planning to go to Vegas get some type of an idea what they can expect, what to plan for, so they can have the best possible time.
Well, I have one tip for anyone coming to Las Vegas trying to save a buck or two. When you come to Las Vegas, don't buy your alcohol or your water on the strip because it's insanely expensive. You're going to be paying $5 for a bottle of water, and it's just insane. Just go off the strip. Go to, like, you know, the grocery stores or, you know, Lee's Discount Liquor or one of those places. Get all the, you know, alcohol or water or food or snacks or whatever you need, and then go back to the hotel and then, you know, do that. Also, too, while I'm thinking about it, in most motels, you have a refrigerator and a microwave. In Las Vegas hotels, you do not. So if you do have a refrigerator, it's usually loaded with stuff. And if you move any of it, then they, like, charge you, and even if you didn't need it or anything. One time I had dinner, like leftover dinner, and I put it in the refrigerator, and I tapped a couple things when I was putting it in there because it was so tight. And when we checked out, they were trying to charge us like $40 or something for that. And I'm like, we didn't even touch anything. And they're like, well, it moved. And every time it moves, the sensor goes off, and you get charged for that item. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's, so. Yeah, we need to be careful. And this, you don't have to then the cold talk, you know, because obviously we don't want to go there. But basically, if you do go and get a refrigerator room, make sure don't open the door. That way you won't be charged, correct?
Well, just don't move anything in the refrigerator. You can open the door and you can look, but don't move anything. If you move something, it's on a sensor, and then you'll be charged for it.
Right, which only makes sense because they're in business to make money. And the more money they make, well, the more money they take shareholders. I mean, the idea, the casinos aren't in business to have, give the players a nice time. They're in business to bring a profit and return that profit to the shareholders.
Yep, they're a corporation.
Absolutely. Now, and obviously, some, I don't know if you can ask, we'll ask this question, maybe we can go there. Some casinos, hotels might have a better reputation than others. I'm going to go there, I'm going to spend all my money and be kind of a stupid jerk, right? What hotel might be more understanding to my, I would call it boorish behavior, but more understanding to my drunken behavior as long as I'm not being too stupid?
The strip casinos are considered the high-end casinos, so they're less likely to deal with drunk BS. If you go to the south end of the strip, like, say, the Stratosphere, the Sahara, Circus, they're more willing to deal with that. And then the place that is the most willing to deal with it is downtown. Anyone could go there. Everybody down there is pretty much drunk and stupid, and you'll just fit in, and it's normal.
Wow. Okay. I have to ask about Circus. Do they have a statue of Jay there that I can go and worship?
A statue of what?
Of Jay, the owner, the builder?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure.
I think if there's two... And there's two people that don't, in my opinion, get enough credit for what they brought to Vegas. And I don't know Jay's last name. I would be able to announce it. I apologize for that. This is the guy that gave us Circus and Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he did to make Vegas a destination for, I'm going to say, every man that wants to get away from the life for a while, I think it's him. And he was also in Diamonds Are Forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So...
We don't really have statues of anyone, even Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn was like one of our biggest contributors, and we don't even have a statue of him anywhere.
Yeah, I can – what's that? Yeah, it's amazing that there's not a statue of Steve Wynn. You'd think there would be one. But again, I'm not in charge. You'd think, even though we may not appreciate different people for all aspects of their life, it's important to – at least recognize them for some of the good things they may have done, even if it's by accident. But that's an aside. So let's go.
I think they do that by putting their names on buildings. You know, Trump,
right.
Wynn,
right.
Howard Hughes has his Howard Hughes building. So I think that's how they dedicate, you know, to those people, or giving them a street name. We have a bunch of streets named after, like, famous people like Dean Martin. So I think we get street names and buildings here, not statues. If we do statues here, it's the statues of the crazy girl's butt. No ifs, ands, or buts. And then that's like lucky to rub the butt. That's the statues we have in Las Vegas.
Wild. So I'm going to rub that statue before I go to play roulette in my high roller room, correct?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Always good.
You,
one of the lucky
is it? Okay.
Here.
So we... Really? I make mojo bags as a hobby, right? That bring good luck to people for different aspects of their life. I'm wondering maybe I should go and bring my materials down there so I can go bust that plain blackjack and tipping dealers way too much money. I can go and sell bone chill bags. I didn't think about that. I can ask this question. If Vegas is so big on luck, which you said they were, the old charms and the like, are there people out there selling different things like mojo bags, lucky charms, that give you more luck at the gaming tables?
Yeah, but we have that all across the strip. If you're walking down the strip, you have people trying to sell you everything. You have the people who are trying to get the pitchers with you, the people who are trying to sell water for $5. You have the sleight of hand people that are either doing magic or, you know, the sleight of hand type of games. So you have all of that on the strip.
Oh, wow. I know that. I should have. I didn't know that. Now, I take it for granted that if I'm playing sleight of hand games on the strip, I should pretty much understand that it's a, as any gaming is in Vegas, but it's a way to separate me from my money, and they may not be exactly, can I use the word honest? Like with three kind of money?
Oh, yeah. And they're usually located on the bridges. They're not in the casinos or anything. They're like on the bridges or on the streets, and it's all a gimmick. It's all just there to, you know, they even have shills in the audience that are, you know, making it look so easy so you could put your money in there. And it's just all, you know, show so that way they could take your money. They're hustlers.
The hustlers, right. And as long as you know it, you know, it's fine. It's fine to do whatever I'm thinking. Now, you send out pictures with you. So I walked on the street and some guy will say, hey, buddy, he'll be dressed as Elvis. Do you want a picture of Elvis? It's $5, correct? Something like that?
Yes. Yeah, or the showgirls, or Minnie Mouse, or, yeah.
As you might have noticed by now, I was thinking about showgirls. Are there showgirls still in Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah, we still have shows that feature showgirls.
Really? Which casino offers that the best, you think?
Oh, goodness. There's only a couple left, so... probably the Folly Show.
Okay. Interesting. I appreciate that. Is there a museum for showgirls? I heard there was. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, we have a couple museums here in Las Vegas, and all of them have some showgirl stuff in them. You could go to the Mob Museum, and they have one section dedicated to, you know, showgirls in that old Las Vegas. If you go to our State Museum, we have a section all about showgirls, and I think I have a couple of pictures. I actually have to look for them, but it's pretty interesting. So we do have a few museums that touch on this subject.
Interesting. I think it's important to see the museum, especially the Mob Museum. I think it would be a hoot, but that's me.
Yeah.
Going back to the
gaming.
The Mob
Museum is fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I know that it's my desire that it's not going to happen in my lifetime. It would be great to be able to get there as a speaker to talk about my Mafia books. But not all things happen to all people. It would be.
And did you talk about the species, like, hidden behind us?
I'm sorry?
Did you know about the speakeasy that's hidden behind the Mob Museum?
Yes. I'm excited. When I make it to Vegas, I do hope to go there and visit there. Yes, it'd be the thing to do.
I hope so. It's really fun.
No. Oh, yeah, I can't believe that it wouldn't be. I mean, I think of all places, the Mob Museum understands why people are there and would give people that best experience. Myself. Getting away from gaming, but I have to ask one more question before we get back to gaming. Is there, here in Wisconsin, we have rifle ranges where I can go there and for a nominal fee rent a pistol and go to the pistol range and shoot a couple rounds if I want to. Do they offer the same thing in Vegas and can I get a hold of a Thompson machine gun?
So explain it a little bit better to me. So you're talking about renting out house?
I'm thinking about, is there a firearm range like we have in Wisconsin where for an nominal fee, if I want to try out a 45, I can do that. And for a fee, go to the range.
Okay, yeah, the gun range. Yeah, we have several different gun ranges here in Las Vegas. We have indoor gun ranges that are close to the strip that you could go to, or if you want to go shoot at a mountain, you could go up near Red Rock, and they have a huge gun range up at, near Red Rock. So, yeah, you're able to come up here and go shooting and all that. Pretty much anyone could do shooting as long as you shoot at the mountain and not, say, at the city. Then, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, good thing. I'd ask that question. Let's go back to gaming. We talked about the poker game. That's a good game for us to play that gives us the best value or time for our money. How about Baccarat? If I pronounced that right.
Baccarat is a great game. Baccarat is probably one of the better games in the house. And the reason why is it has a low house advantage. And it's so easy for the player. All the player really has to do is pick banker or player or tie, and that's it. The reason why it's a better game, too, is because if you go on roulette and you play red or black, people think, oh, I got a 50-50 chance. But that's not accurate, because if any of the greens hit, if the zero or double zero hits, then you lose both red and black. However, on Baccarat, you could bet player, you could bet banker, and if a tie hits, then you don't lose the player or the banker bet. It's a push, so it stays up there. So it's you actually get the 50-50 chance on Baccarat, whereas you don't get that on roulette. Another thing is if you are playing Baccarat, it's always good to bet banker because there are more banker hands per shoe than there are player hands, and that's why they typically charge a 5% commission or VIG on the banker. If you are going to play Baccarat, If you are going to play Baccarat, then it's good to play a no commission Baccarat, which there are plenty of those out there, so that way you don't have to pay that 5% commission.
Wow. If we're going to play that game, do we have to come with our martini shaking but not stirred?
Only if you're wearing a James Bond suit and you have a really hot woman with you.
Which we can get because there's so many there that want to go to my room. They want to go to my room with an old fat man, right? Obviously, that's obviously something I would have to find. Absolutely. Yeah, interesting thing about. Now, that's this. Okay, we talked about some games which are a better game for a player to play potentially. What are some games I might want to stay away from?
Games that are good to stay away from are typically the carnival games. These are games that have a much higher house edge for the player than, say, the core games. Or if you are playing on craps, don't bet any of the proposition bets. Usually the house edge for these games or the proposition bets could range anywhere from 8% all the way up to 16% on some of the props in craps. So I would stay away from those unless you're just playing to have fun and it doesn't really matter. Now, there are some carnival games out there that know that it's good to keep the players on the game, which is why some of them have low house edges. But this is something you really need to do your homework with. If there's a specific game you want to play, check out the house edge. If the house edge is 4% or higher, it's probably too high to play or it's not good for the player. If it's like 3% or lower, it's better for the player. And you usually want something around 1% or under 1%.
Wow. What do you mean by carnival game?
A carnival game is the side game. So that's three-card poker, letter ride, high-card flush. It is war, you know, it's all those games, Caribbean stud. It's not one of the core games. And the core games would be blackjack, roulette, pie-gal poker, baccarat, and craps.
Interesting. Something we have here at our local Indian casino are craps tables, which are basically run by machine. Basically, the dice are... Yeah, right? I mean, are they even... I've not played them. I've just seen videos of them and people talk about them. How important, in my opinion, the participation of the crowd, the other players, is as important to me as winning or losing, necessarily, because I want that excitement, right, that you see in TV. I don't think you can get that with those machines, can you, or am I mistaken?
No, you don't get that as much with machines. They're trying really hard to change the machine so that way you do get it. You see that at G2E where they show new machines out there. What they're trying to do is they're trying to aim swap machines at millennials, which is why you have some machines where you have four players. Here's a good example. There's one slot machine here where it is a Batman Dark Knight slot machine, and you have four. It's like a racing game, like you're racing cars. So it has the four slots with cars, like you're staying down. You have the, you know, car seat, you have the wheel, and it's a slot machine. But when you do the bonus, you're doing like a race against the players, and then whoever wins the race wins the jackpot. So they're trying to incorporate it, but it's not catching on yet. So you don't see it at too many casinos.
Now, I can see how they would think that would catch on. I can also see why it wouldn't catch on. I'm surprised they don't do the Farmville sort of thing, where the more you, we can compete with your friends, and you by putting more money. I take you've played Farmville, right?
Oh, Farmville. I've never played it. No, I've never played it. I know video games. I'm good with video games, so I get the whole, like, basis. But no, Farmville itself, I've never played.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you could, there's ways that you could put money in it and get advantages over other players. I'm surprised nobody's tried to do that as a way to suck in millennials to play slot machines. I don't know how that necessarily would work. Now, sidebar, next question. We're going to change subject just a little bit. I understand esports is getting to be big time to participate with as a gambling in Vegas. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes. Vegas is trying to be the esports hub of the world. Right now, the current title goes to Santa Monica. Santa Monica is the esports hub at the moment, and Las Vegas is trying to compete with Santa Monica. That's why you see a lot of esports hubs popping up, especially in, say, the Luxor or the Rio or other locations like that. It's really fun to go into these places. They have a lot of games, a lot of board games, the Jumbo, you know, board games, Jumbo Connect 4, Jumbo Jenga. They have, like, pool tables, and it's just a really fun recreational area. And then they have esports as well. That would be at a place like the Rio. Luxor is trying to be more dedicated to it. And, oh, my God, they turned the nightclub Raw into an esports facility, and it is breathtaking. Like, it is really impressive walking in there and going through there. Anyone can go through there. Anyone can take a tour. You don't have to pay to get in. You could just ask to, you know, walk around and see, and they're totally fine with that. And it is definitely something to check out.
Wow. And you can bet on esports there, correct?
Yeah, you could bet on esports as well.
Right. And that would be sort of a book, sports book situation versus, say, playing craps,
right.
Correct?
Right. And it would be during certain events. So Evo is a good example. Evo usually happens around August, and that's one of our major esports tournaments. And, yeah, you will see betting on that for sure.
Wow. So we should talk about sports books. For those people who've never been to a sports book, which would be something I would do not my first time in Vegas, but my second or third, what is a sports book and what do I need to know in order to go to one and have a clue?
A sports book is an area in the casino where you can go to bet on sports, you can watch games. It really just depends on the casino, what kind of sports book they offer you. There are, say, for example, some of the smaller casinos, it's not really a sports book. It's more of like a sports kiosk, and you walk up to this machine and you do your sports betting on this kiosk, and there's not really a sports book area. And then you have other places where the sports book is just incredible. It's huge. It has amazing, like, freaking huge TVs everywhere. They got, you know, restaurants, bars, you know, these really comfortable chairs, VIP sitting areas. And it's, some of them are pretty impressive. a lot of the times when I'm talking to people in sports book, one of the things that I notice the most, they complain about two things. They complain about the smoking because some of the places don't have good filtration for the smoking. And then people complain about not having enough lines open. So a lot of people like to make bets in game. They're watching the game. They want to make a bet at, like, in the next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, what's going to happen during this kickoff, that kind of thing. And when they have to sit in line for 5 or 10 minutes to wait counter to make this instant bet, usually the time has passed where they missed it, and then they missed making that bet, and then the casino or the sportsbook the sportsbook area misses out on that revenue. So what a lot of people are doing is they'll sit there in sportsbook and they'll make their main bets in sportsbook, but then they'll have their phones out and they'll have like the William Hill sportsbook app, and they'll make all the instantaneous betting on their sportsbook where they don't have to wait in line.
Sure. And again, they can make that bet, but potentially that sportsbook might not make that revenue, or perhaps they have an application that lets them. Huh? It's very interesting, very fascinating. And I take it if I'm in my sports book watching the playoff game, say, I can sit there at a video terminal and play some video poker as I also watch the game, correct? Because I want my money.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes, you will have plenty of opportunities to play video poker while you watch sports.
Right. And if I show up halfway decently dressed with my martini shaking that stirred, perhaps my James Bond lookalike woman might show up and say, hey, yeah, that sort of thing. Interesting. Yeah, all things considered, it seems, our sportsbook must be a place I visit when I come to Vegas. Now, in your opinion, can you recommend a good sportsbook for the first-time visitor?
It really just depends. It depends on what the person is looking for, what they want out of the sportsbook. Some people will want certain things. For example, some people will want a really, really comfortable sports book that makes them feel good. It has good ambience. It has a good atmosphere, and they could just sit there with their friends and enjoy, you know, a good game at the bar and really have a good time. So atmosphere is really important to these people. Other people, what's important to them are the odds. Are these places giving you good odds? And everyone offers different odds, and it's really sort of it's a little cumbersome trying to figure out who has the best odds. If you are looking for that, I would recommend checking out the Wizard of Odds, wizardofodds.com. He usually gives out places that have good odds. So instead of doing the footwork, you could go just check him out. So odds is really important to those people. And then there are other people where they're looking for comps. They want a good comp. You know, if I make a $5 bet, are you going to give me a free hot dog or a free beer, you know? So it really just depends on what they're looking for.
Let's talk about comps for a minute. I've told two things, and both of them can't be true, I don't think. I'm told there's no such thing as comps anymore, unless, of course, you spend more money than God. Or you can, if you go to the right place, you can still get comps for different things, say, like a hot dog or a soda. Which one would be true, ma'am?
Comps are still here. Comps are still around. But comps are, let's see, how do I say this? Corporations are just inherently greedy. That's just how they are. So they want to increase their profit everywhere, every year.
Right.
Everybody knows that. So
they
do what they can, right. They do what they can to get that money. And some of the things that they do is having less comps or not as good comps for the players. And people see that. They've noticed that. They've noticed that, you know, hey, I'm playing $100 or, you know, I'm playing at this table for 4 hours and, you know, at $25 a hand and I can't even get a buffet anymore. Whereas before you could get a buffet easily. So they've noticed that the casinos have tightened up a lot when it comes to comps. Comps are still out there, but they're more now of a way of like, the rewards that you see when you go to Chipotle or Jamba Juice or, you know, one of those fast food places where, hey, we'll stamp your card 10 times and then you'll get a free, you know, whatever. That's where comps are going. So they're becoming much stingier and much harder to get, and you have to spend more to get less.
Sure, I expect that. It still would apply today if I showed up as Mega Millionaire from Malaysia and this draft $1 million at the backrack table. I'm going to drop a couple $100,000 playing poker in a couple minutes, then most likely I would get a comp. And I'm hotels fighting for my business.
Yeah, and it also depends on the casino. If you're going to do that in a downtown casino, you'll get better comps than if you do it, stay at the Wynn.
Yeah. Fascinating. The whole, I suspect there's all kinds of research that you can find online about what hotels / casinos give you the best comp for the best investment.
Yeah, there are a lot of websites out there that talk specifically about this, as well as podcasts. There's plenty of podcasts where people just specifically talk about comps and, you know, the freebies that you could get in Las Vegas and how to get more. And some of the stuff they come up with, I was listening to one, it just blew my mind. He was like, you got to use this credit card to get, you know, these airplane miles, so that way your flight's free, and then you have to do this to get your room free, and you have to do that. It's like, holy cow, you're doing a whole Las Vegas trip free. It's just, some of those
people are
amazing. So it's worth checking
they
out.
They are. And they do. May I ask you the name of that podcast so people can go and check it out?
Oh, I don't have it here in front of me, and I don't want to give you the wrong name. So
okay.
I would just say Google it and find what you like.
Find what you like, okay. And please share. If you find one that you really like, please let me know at my email, which is, I'll give it, WCLINGMAN@WY.R.com. I'd like to know that because I can do my research and potentially bring them on the show, because God knows I didn't know very much at all at Vegas, and I need to learn more, and I'm going to pass that information on to you, which again gives me the opportunity to ask Heather where we can find her on the line again.
Vegas-aces.com.
Outstanding. Going back to our Vegas trip, right? I have to ask this because someone asked me this question. They believe that when last time they were in Vegas, there was a car or truck of some sort that if you were hungover, you could go to it and they would give you oxygen to breathe and vitamin B12 shots so you'd get over your hangover quicker. Is that true or something you may have imagined?
I haven't heard anything about that, but it's Las Vegas, so I wouldn't put it past someone to do something like that.
Wow.
But I haven't heard of it.
Okay, so we don't know. We can either confirm it or deny. I will say this. Is Las Vegas crazier than I can even imagine?
Probably. Yeah, especially if you grew up in a town where, you know, not much happened and you know everyone and everyone knows you and the biggest, you know, news story of the year is someone's dog got loose. I mean, yeah, Las Vegas is pretty crazy. I was talking to someone who just moved in, and I was telling them about my neighborhood, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we just had a couple drive-by shootings, and this one guy, like, he got killed over here where he lost the dog and this and that, and this lady got mugged over here, and she's like, oh, my God, how could you just be so calm about it? And I'm like, oh, it's Las Vegas. It's, like, normal.
Right, like normal, but again, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, if I know where I am, I know where I'm going to go, I'm in public, in safe areas, not much is going to happen to me. But if I decide to be stupid and walk off that woman who's fallen in love with me at the sports book at the bar, or the guy goes, I know a place where you can go and get lucky, come in my car, I'm asking for trouble.
That's a very good point. Yes, you're correct. The Strip is safe. If you're on the Strip, you are safe because a lot of policemen do ride their bikes and roam around there, and there are a lot of security guards and cameras, so the Strip is good. Also, if you're downtown, Fremont Street is good, where the Canopy is. Don't go anywhere that the Canopy is not covering, because the Canopy is the safe area. Yeah, don't go walking, especially at night. I had one player walk from the Stratosphere to downtown and they got mugged, and I'm like, well, what were you expecting? So I would definitely stick to the safe areas and just be careful when you're out and about, you know, just be aware. I have this story real quick. I was driving on Sahara and Las Vegas Boulevard. That's where, like, Sahara, Stratosphere, those places are. And there was a guy in front of us. this homeless guy goes up to the car in front of us and starts beating it in with this baseball bat, like beating the windshields with this baseball bat. And the car didn't have anywhere to go. We were behind them. There was someone in front of him who was turning right, and he didn't have anywhere to go. So he was freaking out, and this guy is just hitting his car with this baseball bat. And finally, the guy in front of him makes the right-hand turn, and this guy speeds off, you know, getting away from this, you know, homeless person. And then I realized, oh my God, we're next. And I like floored it, and I whizzed past this guy, and he like barely hit the back of my truck. And I'm like, oh my God, just a normal day in Las Vegas.
Incredible. I mean, we have concealed carry in Wisconsin. If somebody did that to somebody's car or stoplight here, they'd be shot.
I don't think the police here would be too kind to shootings. I think they would actually have a problem with that.
Well, yeah, I don't. I mean, concealed carry, you know, you have to have a license for it, you have to train you for it and stuff. But yeah, I mean, you attack my car with a baseball bat, I'm thinking my life's in danger. That's me. But I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay on the strip. I'm going to stay underneath the canopy. I'm going to stay in my hotel. I'm going to stay in the casino, right? If I'm going to visit a house of ill repute, I'm going to go to another county, and I'm going to be using the services that that facility offers with picking me up and bringing me back home safely. You know,
right. Or use a taxi or Uber, although even right. Those are, you know, iffy sometimes.
Sometimes. That happens here, too. It's sad to say. But, yeah, we take the precautions that we need to take as reasonable human beings. I think we're pretty safe in Vegas, if we play third shift or not, if we play high roller room or not, and if we can all have a good time and enjoy our stay. I think that's important.
Yep.
I have to ask you this question. Where did you learn so much about odds and what games play give you the best odds, and how did it take you years to learn that information?
Yes, it did take me years. A lot of it, you learn it when you're a dealer, when you're around it all the time, when you know, are talking to your coworkers and you're talking about work, this is what you're talking about. So you learn a lot on the job. And I've been reading a ton of books in the past few years, especially about gaming management and customer service and how they do the numbers and the history of Las Vegas and just all sorts of books and everything. And you just a lot of research and learning and talking to people. And yeah.
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, I think the passion that you bring to Las Vegas and how much fun and enjoyable it can be, you make a really good ambassador to the city and ambassador to the gaming industry. I want to thank you for that. I know I'm going to be bothered for the next 15 years if I don't ask for a name of a book title or two that people can get started reading to start their own education.
What do they want to learn? And I will tell you the book.
Okay.
Like,
questions would be, one, basic gaming thought. That's a wrong way to put it. Like, the basic history behind the game, say.
Okay, history. So I would recommend a book called Roll the Bones by David Schwartz. And this is a fantastic book about the history of gambling, gaming, and the Las Vegas history. They even have a couple chapters about the mob and everything, which is really interesting. Okay. So that is a really great book to check out. If you want a book on, say, casino management, running a casino, Casinoology is really good. So is Table Games Management by Vic Tosser. Those are really, really good books. And I don't know, was there any other books that you wanted me to recommend?
No,
Blackjack. How about the Blackjack?
Yeah, please.
Beat the Dealer by Edward Thorpe.
Well, I cut you off. I apologize. What's the name of it?
Beat the Dealer by Edward Thorpe. And then if you want to like go on and be more advanced, Julian Braun wrote a book as well that was really interesting. That basically enhanced the Edward Thorpe book.
Wow. Can we buy those books from your website? Do you have a front door at Amazon that allows us to do that?
Yeah. So if you go to vegas-aces.com, you'll notice the tabs at the top of the website. One of them is shop. Scroll down and you will see Casino Supplies. Click on that link and it'll take you to our Amazon store. And we have a bunch of books and casino supplies and all sorts of stuff for you to choose from.
Cool. And you have t-shirts with your logo on it. You really have giant dice too, I understand.
Yep, we got giant dice, jumbo dice. You can find that on our shop page. And then if you go below, we have another link to our T-shirt page or Teespring page, and we have a whole bunch of merch out and everything on our Teespring page.
Outstanding. Thank you so much for being on the show today and talking to us about the next level of adventure that we can have in Vegas. I myself will start learning how to... Oh, no, happy. I have to start learning my James Bond English impression so I can walk up to the back rack table and fake being a big roller.
That's awesome.
So cool. Hey, we all have to have dreams. All right. Well, again, ma'am, I want to thank you for all so much for your time. And I enjoy having the show. And we have one more show to do in this arc, which we hopefully will be done when it's supposed to be done. And with that, you have a great day. And I want to thank you and wish you the very, very best of luck.
Thank you. I hope you have a great day as well. And thanks again for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much. And with that, everybody, everybody out there, go out there, get those books that she talks about, do your studying, and as you do your studying, you should really go to Amazon and Google my book, The Last Most Powerful Godfather of Milwaukee, and buy a copy, because that helps this show continue. And with that, I wish everybody out there a great time, and the very best of everything. Bye-bye.